Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Does life ever overwhelm you and seem to demand more than you can give? Well, friend, God wants to come alongside of you, and from within you, His Holy Spirit, He wants to give you power for life. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Chappell, we examine power for life. Stay with us. One experience that's universal to human life is that life can become overwhelming. We can convince ourselves that we have everything under control, but in our conscience we know it's fragile. We know that suffering or hardship can change our situation. And that's where God's Holy Spirit comes in. When we have a relationship with Him, He offers us a power for living and for life that suffering and hardship cannot take away. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth. But today, we're studying Power for Life. Today, we invite you to turn with us to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8, as we study the power to continue. Here's Paul Chappell.
Hang him up on the cross, spear him in the side, let him stay there till he no longer can stay there as a man who is trying to breathe. Let him stay on that cross in that pain and agony and see if he somehow can fake his death before the Roman soldiers. I'm going to tell you something. It's an impossibility, my friend. Jesus Christ died a literal, physical death for your sin and for mine. And He shed real blood on the cross. And it was not the blood that comes from the Adamic sin nature line. It was heavenly. It was a sacrificial payment for our sin. And then after He arose, He made many infallible proofs. There are many more times the witnesses of the resurrected Christ than there are the signers of the Declaration of Independence. And yet, no one here doubts that the Declaration of Independence was signed by our founders. The fact of the matter is that Jesus Christ, by many infallible proofs, showed Himself to be alive. Promises are given, but proof is given concerning the promise of the resurrected Christ. There was a renowned artist by the name of Paul Gustave Doré. And this particular artist was famous in Europe in the late 1800s, and he was traveling throughout some of the European countries, and he had been doing various different displays and showing art and so forth. And he came to a particular border crossing, and as he was going from one country to another, he suddenly realized he had lost his passport. And Gustave Doré came to the guardsman and he said, "Sir," he said, "I have lost my passport." He said, "My name is Paul Gustave Doré." He said, I'm an artist. He said, I do a lot of work. Maybe you've heard of me. He was hoping that perhaps by name recognition, they would put the pieces of the puzzle together and let him go through. And the guard said, "I'm sorry, sir." He said, "A lot of people tell us that they are somebody else in order to get through." He said, I can't let you through the crossing here." And the artist continued to plead his case. And the guard went to his superior officer and they were talking for a while. And suddenly they both came back and they came to the artist and they said, "All right, here's what we've decided. We're going to give you this large piece of paper and this pencil. We want you to look over here to the peasants and the workers in the field. And we're going to give you a moment to draw and to show us that you are truly who you say you are." Suddenly that artist took that pencil and he began to draw that scene so vividly and clearly and beautifully. They stood back in awe as they saw him handling that pencil in such a way that they had never seen before. And before their very eyes, the artist's work confirmed the artist's word. And they had no doubt that he was who he said he was, and they let him go. And in a similar way, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ's work has confirmed His word that He is who He says He is. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 2, the Bible says in verses 1 and 2, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, capital W, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show you unto that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested to us. The Apostle John is saying, listen, I'm giving you testimony of that which I have seen, and that which I have heard. He says, I have touched the resurrected Christ. I'm writing to you about what I know to be true. It is what God has revealed to me. These were many infallible proofs, a promise that is proven. And my friend, every promise in the book is trustworthy. And you can take it to the bank and believe that God is true in what He says. But notice, secondly, a promise provided. There is here a promise provided for us, and that is the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we see in verse 5, John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. Now, the apostles were the recipients of this particular promise, and God had given this promise to them. Luke 24:49, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. John 14:16, again, I will pray the Father, and He shall send you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. And so it was that the apostles had been given this promise, and once again, God in His faithfulness had delivered that promise to them. But the promise has also been made to us. There is a slight difference. The disciples who had followed Christ, who had believed on Him at the Sea of Galilee, for example, they had a moment of faith in Christ. And later on, at the day of Pentecost, they had a subsequent receiving of the Holy Spirit of God. This was the case in their lives, as the book of Acts is transitional in nature between the Old Testament and the New Testament period. But in the church age, each of us who accept Jesus as our Savior, at the moment we pray to receive Christ as our Savior, we at that moment receive the Holy Spirit of God into our lives. He becomes our guide, He becomes our helper, He becomes our teacher and our comforter at that moment. Romans 8 and verse 9 explains it this way, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. In other words, my friends, you either have God's salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit, or you do not have salvation and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But if you are saved, then God's Spirit indwells you. 1 Corinthians 12 says it this way, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, having been all made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, God's Spirit, when we're saved, places us into Christ. And at that moment of salvation, we also receive the Spirit of God. My friend, it's wrong for us to ask God to do something for us that He's already done for us. You don't have to ask for the Holy Spirit if you've accepted Christ as your Savior. He's with you now. He will guide, convict, and direct you if you will allow Him to do that. And so we continue on. There's power to continue in the Christian life because of the presence of God through His Spirit, because of the promise of God that He will give us His Spirit and that He has given us in His Word. And then notice, thirdly, this morning, we can continue with His power. God says, not only am I going to give you my Spirit and my Word, but I want you to know that the combination of my Word and my Spirit is going to give you power for everyday living. Now let's look at verse 8 of Acts chapter 1. And I think it's there in your notes. If you have your Bible, look at verse 8 and let's read it together. And let's just let it sink in just a little bit. Why does God give us the Holy Spirit? And over the next 10 or 12 weeks, we're going to see a lot of the reasons and a lot of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, because our theme this year is by His Spirit. But I want you to see one of the main reasons He gave us the Spirit right here in Acts 1 and verse 8. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, God not only gave His Spirit to comfort and to teach, but He gives His Spirit to empower every one of His children. If you're taking notes, maybe you've studied this before. The word power in verse 8 is the Greek word dynamis or dunamis, and it speaks of dynamite power. It speaks of an ability that is given to us by the Spirit, and that ability does many things in our lives. This dynamite power helps us to witness. It helps us to avoid worldliness and to live righteously. This dynamite power gives us the ability to serve. Sometimes people say, I don't have the gift of gab. I can't witness. I can't tell people about Jesus. And you know what? You're right. You can't. I can't. But in the power of the Spirit, He enables us. He helps us along the way to do that which is spiritual in nature. All of us need the power of the Holy Spirit. One pastor years ago, Dr. A.W. Tozer, said, if the Holy Spirit be withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do could go on and no one would know the difference. Now, friends, that's a sad statement. In other words, many churches and many Christians are just going through motions. I don't know about you. I don't want to see in my life what I can do, or in this church what we can do. My prayer is that we may see what God can do. What God can do in restoring marriages. What God can do in bringing the prodigal home to his parents. What God can do in saving someone's soul. What God can do in touching this entire city for righteousness and godliness. I don't want to see what I can do. I want to see what the power of the Holy Spirit of God can do, because greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world, you see. Now, every one of us need that power. That power is so vitally, vitally important. Let me tell you a few things about it. First, this power comes from a divine person. And we see who that person is in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Now, the Holy Ghost is a person of the Godhead. Some people try to deny that. The Unitarian Church denies that. The Jehovah Witness deny the Trinity. They deny that Jesus Christ is a part of the Trinity, equal to God the Father. But God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all equal persons of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, for example, is omnipresent. The Holy Spirit is omniscient. He knows all. He is God. And He empowers everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. In your notes, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And it is so true that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. As Spurgeon said over 100-some years ago, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without wind or chariots without steeds. Like branches without sap, we are withered. Like coals without fire, we are useless. As an offering without the sacrificial flame, we are unaccepted. My friend, without the power of God, the church can't move forward. We can't continue on each and every day. So the power comes from a divine person. Notice, secondly, the power comes for a divine purpose, all right? If we're going to continue on serving the Lord, then we need the power of a divine person, the Holy Spirit of God. But the power comes for a divine purpose. Let's look back at verse 8 and see what the Bible says. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. So God says, I want you to be a witness for me. The reason He gives us His Spirit, watch this, is not so we can bring attention to ourselves. Have you ever been around so-called Spirit-filled people who wanted to bring attention to themselves? They wanted to brag on their giftedness, so-called. They wanted to brag on their abilities. They wanted to simply use the concept of the Holy Spirit to bring attention to themselves. God does not give us the Spirit so we can lift ourselves up. He gave us the Spirit so that we could lift His Son up. Jesus. And ye shall be witnesses. And we're to be witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the evidences of a Spirit-filled Christian is not that they can play the tambourine. It is that they are bringing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit will teach concerning the things of Jesus Christ, and He will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 4 and verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now let's notice very quickly the realm of our witness. The realm of our witness. It says here, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. That means that God wants each local church to witness in our community, in our county, in our country, in our continent, in our world. He says, I want you to get the gospel message of Jesus Christ to Lancaster and Palmdale and Los Angeles and America. I want you to do what you can do in my Spirit's power to get the gospel around the world. Now someone says, well, that's impossible. Let me tell you something this morning. Did you know that Lancaster Baptist Church, after a mere 24 years, is already supporting some 200 missionaries all around the world while we preach here this morning? People that we've supported and in many cases that we have sent from this church by the power and grace of God are preaching the gospel right now, and that this one church in the power of the Holy Spirit is touching lives. Did you know that yesterday there were many different people throughout Lancaster and Palmdale in their homes who heard the gospel and prayed to receive Christ as their Savior, as people who've been saved themselves, who are obeying and seeking the power of the Spirit, going out with the doctrine of the apostles, and are making a difference. My friend, it's not that it won't work, it's that many Christians will not allow God to work within their own heart. God's plan will work, and He wants the realm to be here locally and then to spread to the uttermost parts of the earth. Notice not only the realm of our responsibility, notice the responsibility of our witness. And God wants every Christian to tell someone else what Jesus has done for them. And notice this in Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations. That word teach means to make disciples or to see others converted. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God says, I want you to go out. And I want you to tell others. And that's why I thank God for our Tuesday morning, Tuesday night, and Saturday soul winning programs. Because when we feel a little nervous about how to witness, our church provides a time that we can go and someone to go with and training to know how to tell others about the Lord and to facilitate the commitment and commandment of the Lord God has given the local church whereby we can serve. And not only can we serve through our local church here going out, but we can carry gospel tracts provided by the church and tell friends at work, maybe at lunchtime as we're striking up conversation, what did you do this weekend? And God says, I want you to look for opportunities and let my Spirit guide you into times when you can be a witness. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. A few years ago, I went down to the country of El Salvador, and some of the men of the church went with me. And as we went down to that particular mission field, we had the opportunity to meet many different people in cities that had no Bible preaching church. And we were able to lead people to the Lord just by opening the Bible and telling them what Jesus Christ had done, telling them that it's not about joining a church or trusting in certain works, but by faith we can be saved through Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it was to see people accept Christ as Savior. And in some of these countries, there are more freedoms really than we have in America. I mean by that, you can go to public schools and preach about Christ. You can get on the radio and tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ and invite them to come to the meetings. And just as a public service address announcement, we were given an hour to just preach about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We went to little towns here and there and rented rooms, and God provided some facilities, and we passed out tracts, invited people, and from some of those early meetings, churches have now been established, and missionaries are preaching, and lives are being touched each and every day. On that particular trip, I took with me five young men who were recent graduates from West Coast Baptist College. And West Coast Baptist College, as you'll see tonight in our Partners in Ministry night, you're going to see some of the students and hear the college choir. This ministry of Lancaster Baptist Church is a ministry to train up men and women who will go around the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. On my left here in this picture is Brother Jason Tate. While I'm preaching here this morning, he is preaching today in the country of Honduras. And he is preaching there in a Baptist church, proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. To my right is Pastor Kyle Haynes. And Brother Haynes is another graduate of West Coast Baptist College. He sat in these pews and learned and studied the Word of God. And he is now a pastor in San Jose, California. And to his right is Brother Luis Montaño. Brother Montaño came to this church on a bus. The bus was purchased with the tithe money that folks from this church put in the offering. The gasoline was put in the bus with tithes and offerings from this church. The insurance was paid. Are you getting the picture? So that little boys and little girls can come to church. And this young man was a gang member. little gangbanger came in with his little white t-shirt and his gray shorts and his little cross necklace and an attitude. And he came in and he heard that he needed to repent of his sin and trust Jesus as his Savior. And as a young junior high boy, Luis Montaño accepted Christ as his Savior and started coming to our Sunday school and got involved in Bible study, came to the Bible college. He went on a missions trip with his pastor and he kind of got the picture for it. And today, Luis Montaño and his wife, Maggie, are ministering in Hermosillo, Mexico. And they've established a Baptist church there. And right about this time, he is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Brother Joey Weaver, to the right of him, is preaching the gospel today in the country of El Salvador, where he is a missionary. Brother Carlos Navarrete, to the right of him, who grew up in this ministry, in just a few moments will preach right across the way in the North Building to 700 or 800 people who live in Lancaster and Palmdale and who speak Spanish. I'm just simply telling you that everything we're trying to do in this local church is through the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Jesus Christ in Lancaster and Palmdale and the uttermost parts of the earth. I'm simply saying to you, God's plan that he gave during those 40 days after his resurrection and before his ascension up into heaven, God's plan will work if we who are saved will walk in the Spirit and do the work of God and do it in his power. There is plenty of power and plenty of provision to keep on keeping on. And God did not design the Christian work so that we could get saved and have a little comfort here and it doesn't go anywhere else. God saved you so that you could witness to someone else who needs to be saved. And could you imagine, my friend, if everyone in America who calls themselves Christian would have the power of the Holy Spirit and start witnessing for Jesus Christ, what would happen to America? What would happen in this land if we would stop doing everything else and start doing what the Holy Spirit wants us to do and lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, what a great place this would be again if we would once again follow the teachings of the Word of God as our forefathers did. Oh, my friend, today you can continue. God didn't design the Christian life to be good for 4 years or 3 months or until somebody offended you. God wants us to be faithful all the way until He calls us home. And you can do it with His presence. And you can do it by His promises. And you can do it in His power. And the Bible tells us in Acts 2:42, and they continued. Would you say that with me? And they continued. One more time. And they continued. And God wants you to continue. And God wants me to continue to be faithful. It will make a difference for your children. It will make a difference in this community. And it will make a difference, my friend, in this country if Christian people will continue. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to see how to keep on keeping on in the Christian life. I just pray, Lord, today that you would help us to be a church that would continue. Help every member of this church to say, by your Spirit, Lord, I want to continue. I don't want to quit. I don't want to go AWOL. I want to keep on keeping on. Oh, Lord, I ask you this morning that if there's anyone in this room that has never begun, they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they do not know in their heart that they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today they would by faith do what Luis Montaño did, just trust you as their Savior today. Let it be a wonderful beginning.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching a series entitled Power for Life. The way to tap in or to receive or to avail yourself of this power is to enter into a relationship, a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. Or you can make that decision right now in the privacy of your own heart between you and God. Why don't you bow your head and pray and do what the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, you can bow your head, confess that you would like Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Savior. It would be the greatest decision you could ever make, and you could make it right now. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to Pastor Chappell's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. We are quickly approaching the annual Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell and the staff at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast Baptist College invite you and those you serve with to several days of wonderful preaching, inspiring music, and a theme of renewal that will renew your heart and your love for the Lord and His work. Again, the Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th. You can find out more about it when you visit online at dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chappell and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.